Hey friends, in a long tradition of Adventures in Design having sponsors, I want to welcome somebody else to the AID family. But first, how I pick the sponsors. As you know, jackprince.com/circleoftrust has been our long flagship sponsor, and they provide a lot of different things. They provide a very affordable way for you to make whatever you need to make for your brand, but they also give you the opportunity to do print brokering for your clients, to kind of get in the middle and make a little bit of extra money. I recommend that during these times. If you can get in, do some print brokering jobs, make a little bit more off of each design, that helps you out. And then our bud Andrew over at True Grit Texture Supply, the textures, the way that Andrew has streamlined his product base and the way that you can easily take these brushes, install them into Procreate, Illustrator, or Photoshop. It's just a really efficient way to do great work. True Grit Texture Supply /AID for site-wide discounts. But our newest member to the family, as you guys know, my bud, my good bud, Amir from Forefathers, he started a fun little collective called GARM, Graphic Artist Resource Merchant. It's garmcompany.com. You can go over there and see work from Derek Castle, Kendrick Kidd, Tim Barron, and, of course, Amir. The best thing about GARM is that you'll not only save 20% by being a AID listener. Make sure to use the coupon code AID whenever you check out, but you'll be able to buy fun stuff from artists that you know, friends that you know over here on the show. So whether it's Derek Castle's Flash Pack or a nice new font from our friend Kendrick Kidd or learning how to Procreate, Illustrate like Tim Barron Art, it gives you the opportunity to support artists and celebrate what they do best. And the thing I'm excited about this is I love to see my friends work together, and I love to see you be able to get nice products that make your journey as a designer, as an artist, even more efficient so that you have confidence that you have the proper tools to build whatever vision that you want to build. And as always, with Jack Prince, with True Grit, and now with GARM, what I always believe in is trying to find sponsors that empower you to make your career move faster, to help you take a couple of little shortcuts here and there so you have all the extra time you need to do what matters the most. Turn your dream into your day job. What do you say we get started with today's episode with Amir? This is a sponsorship that we now have. It's GARM, garmcompany.com. Your coupon code is AID. And today we're going to talk all about how Amir came up with the idea to start this, what the influence was, what the inspiration was, how he's choosing the products that they're putting out, and what he sees the future of GARM. So friends, if you're looking for a little something extra to kick into your design work, a little something extra to have the next time you're working on a project, I'd suggest you swing by garmcompany.com and definitely use that coupon code AID. And if I could recommend one product, Amir took his big book of inspiration. It's called the Growcase Big Book of Inspiration. It is 1,500 JPEGs divided into different categories, all things that inspire him. And there is some really outstanding work in there. And for the price, wouldn't you get your AID discount? It'd be a nice thing to have on your hard drive to give you a little inspiration, a little problem solving when you feel like you're hitting a creative wall. Okay. I've said enough, but oh, don't worry. I'll say so much more before this episode is over. What do you say we get started with Amir and kick off another episode of Adventures in Design? Big thanks to True Grit Texture Supply, Jack Prince, and now GARM for supporting Adventures in Design. And another big thank you to you, members of the Circle of Trust. This is the team we have, and that's how we keep on showing up. 200 episodes each and every year. Hey, you sit back and you learn something today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Amir Anuia, my favorite Italian friend. Welcome to Adventures in Design. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you, Mark?
I'm great. When you were a young boy, growing up in Europe's boot, down in the bottom of Italy, working on the pasta farm with old grandpa and the Nui, did you ever think one day you would be harvesting a different kind of pasta aioli for a different kind of audience? Did you ever think, out of all your years of being like me, on sort of the edge of this movement of DIY design, trying to not just be anonymous in the project, but be a part of the project, have people know that you did the work, be associated with the work that you put out. Did you ever think at some point, going back to your childhood of growing up in Italy, that you would be sharing with other artists the tools, the pieces of the puzzle that for years, for decades, Amir, that you spent proprietizing? What's that word?
I have no idea. You're the English major here.
Oh, yeah.
It's your native tongue.
Yeah, that's right. You speak Italiani. But in our language, there's a word called, it's like prioritize. No. Yeah, it's when you take ownership over something. Somebody at home screaming at me right now and angry typing, Bricky, it's ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. But anyways, what I'm trying to say
I think I know what you're looking for.
It's when a company owns a technology that makes them unique in the marketplace, right?
Yeah.
It's
propriety.
There you go. You know, there were already computers, but the Mac OS was what won people over because it was more intelligent. It simulated what a desktop on your actual desk was like. So the idea that now you and Derek Castle and Kendrick Kidd and Tim Barron and a handful of your other buds are saying, hey, these are the tools that we used in private that it took us years to figure out, and we're willing to share them with you over at garmcompany.com/coupon code AID. It's an interesting moment, right? That we, for years, a lot of us figured out how to do this stuff, and now we're willing to share it.
Yeah. I always knew I would.
Yeah? That's part of you're an open source type of guy?
Yeah. I don't know. I always sort of knew that I would do something similar to this. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what it would be.
Got it.
And I wish someone would have told me earlier Bro. That this was what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Because I had to figure that out myself. Well, you know, when I got like, I was 18 when I started like fumbling around in Photoshop.
And how old are you now? You're like what, 50, 51?
52. No, I just turned 41.
Well, you don't look a day over scary. So I would like to.
you keep telling me that I look so scary, and I told that to my fiance the other day. She was laughing.
Well, Amir's telling me. Amir and I are having one of our personal conversations, like we do, because we're good friends. And he's telling me, he's like, you know, I happen to be of Arab descent, and. I go through the world and I've never really experienced too much racism. You know, I've gone over to America and everybody's always been nice to me. And I'm like, you're scarier than racism. You look like Satan himself spawned a human form and came to the world. So even if somebody was super, super anti-Muslim, they're going to see you and be like, I'm just not going to mess with this one. We're going to let this one slide through. This one, nah. This looks like too much work.
But I don't think people think that I'm Arabic when they see me in the States. I think they think I'm Chicano or like Latin American or something.
But what they really don't know is Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Right? People, you know that your listeners are going to think that I'm actually Italian now. But maybe that's the whole bit, and I blew it up.
Well, you know, this is the thing. We're in radio of the mind, and we can be wherever we want to be. We can do whatever we want. And oh, by the way, it is so hot on the beach today. But this is what I'm saying, Amir. You just said something earlier when we were speaking here. You were talking about for years, you wish someone would have told you. And I created a whole career off of these are the things that you wish someone would have told you. And I think it's interesting that there was a little bit of adventurism when all of us started doing this, because when you got involved in design on the other side of the planet and when I started doing it, it was like people worked at agencies. Agencies really had a tight grip on the advertising world and production world at large because the computers were so expensive and the knowledge was so rare. But slowly there was the first breakout, which was like, you know, your aunt or your uncle, like, well, I do desktop publishing at home and I make menus for 5 restaurants. And so there was like that first breakout. But when the punk rockers started getting a hold of the computers and getting a hold of Photoshop and playing it like a video game. And, you know, Amir, I would say this, and I mean all compliments with this. You learn how to play Photoshop at 18, like other 18-year-olds learn how to play guitar. Mm. Now, they went on to be millionaires and be in Blink-182, and you went on to be a thousandaire and do Forefathers. But the idea is that the design became our identity. It became our passion. And in doing that, you know, in a way that a kid picks up a guitar and then becomes Bruce Springsteen, he defines his style, his sound, you know, a Telecaster through this amp, you know, creates this voice. And many of us did that through design. And we started to really, really personalize like a professional process and made it very personal and started to make it more of an art form. And in doing that, nobody told us how to craft these tools, what to do next, what kind of clients to work with. But as we're becoming the elder statesmen of our profession, we are all very like, hey, let me give you kids a shortcut. Let me show you how to get over to where I got and get there a little bit faster, because we all do know that frustration of how little information there was for us in that first generation of discovery.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start designing at 18. I want to make that clear. Like, I was always drawing since I was as long as I can remember. And also, I had shitty grades, because if I don't like something, I can't learn it.
Right, me too.
So the only thing I was good at in school was art, and I was pretty good at English.
Talk to a couple of your classmates to research for today's show. You were good at art. You were good at drawing, and I heard you were good at
what? Yeah, I was pretty decent at that. Yeah, no, but so sports and sports a little bit. I wasn't a super athlete or anything, but like compared to today's youth, I would probably have been like a pro athlete, but. I don't know. I was really like, so I played just a short back. I played soccer and I was a bench warmer for like 10 years in my youth, because they were like, where I grew up, that like that was the only thing that mattered, like soccer. So
yeah,
you could rob the whole village where I lived when we had a game, because no one was at home. So I worked out. I went to every practice, like 3 practices a week and 1 game per week for like 10 years. And I sucked at it, but I went to all that, and I also worked out. So I don't know. My point is basically like, I was probably in better shape than most people are now who are like in their early teens. And I was still considered like sort of half lazy, which I find funny. But yeah, so because I enjoyed like art more than sports,
right?
So, but I don't know, something I just had always had like this feeling that I would do something like that, maybe because I loved like Mad Magazine and shit like that, and that's what I sort of wanted to do. I just didn't know how to do that, and it felt like a pipe dream.
Well, yeah, and then, yeah, because when you and I were, so same thing for me in school, I absolutely love skateboarding. It was very physical. And what I liked about skateboarding is it wasn't a team. It was me against me. You know, like if I could ollie over one board by the end of this week, next week, now I want to ollie over 2 boards. And what you're doing doesn't matter, because it's more about me against me. But when I wasn't skateboarding to get physical fitness, and by the way, I still have a fantastic pair of legs, which is a shame because I wear jeans every day of my life. But if you wanted to do a designer's sexiest legs contest, I'm taking home the trophy every time. 10 out of 10.
Are you sure? I've gotten a lot of compliments on my legs. I wish I had on my arms. That would have been awesome.
If my legs were my arms, man, what a different life. What a different life.
That would have been great.
But getting to what you're talking about, though, I'm looking at Mad Magazine, I'm looking at Cracked Magazine, and I'm looking at the world of MTV, Rolling Stone, Spin Magazine. Like, I'm looking into this portal, which is art and entertainment, and there is seemingly no gate to get into it. It's just a big, big concrete wall surrounding it all, and there is no gate to get through. And one of the things I'm fascinated about living in Los Angeles, humble brag, is that I meet so many people that live out here their entire life. And because they lived here, they always had an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a neighbor, a friend, a teacher that got on the other side of that wall. So therefore, in their minds, they knew it was possible that there was a gate. But for you and me, and you, of course, growing up over in Italy, growing up on the pasta fields, there was no wall. There was a wall. There was no way to get in. There's no way to penetrate.
Yeah. Yeah, because all you know is that small, very small world that you live in. And you go to school, you play soccer, and then you work at a paper mill or, I don't know, whatever local business that where everyone goes to work. Or like, there's nobody telling you, like, oh, you should really hone in on these artistic skills and become maybe work in advertisement or like, and this is what you should do to do that. Like, it was nothing like that. So I just figured, but I was lucky enough to figure it out at 18. That's a great age to figure it out and sort of like start taking the first stumbling steps towards it and learning about it, because some people never really realize it until it's way too late and they picked something else and it's sort of too late to reverse and restart.
I am fascinated by adults that you meet that never found their thing. You know, they somehow went through this amazing world. I mean, like right now, pandemic times when people are like stuck at home and you can't go do things. There's a part of my brain that goes, all right, yeah, life looks different and I can't go do all the things I want to do. But there's also a blessing in here that there's now endless hours to play with all my toys to figure out, can I do this? Can I make this? Can I make that? And I just really think that it's a fundamental difference of looking at everything as an opportunity versus looking at everything as an obstacle. And even though early in my life, I saw wanting to get into the arts and the entertainment industry as an obstacle, that problem solving made it something that I really, really wanted to try to figure out on how to get in there. And when we started doing Adventures in Design, fast forwarding the story up a lot, it was fun for Billy and I to wax poetic on all of the difficulties of not knowing how to get started and how we slowly, you know, we tried this and it didn't work. We tried this and it didn't work. But then every now and again, every five attempts, one of those actually gets through and you start building and building and building. And so with Adventures in Design, it wasn't ever set out to become like, well, this is all the shit they wish that they taught you in college. It just immediately realized that's what people needed to talk about and talk about it in a very brutal and realistic way of like, yo, don't do this to be rich. Do this because you're creative and you think that a part of it will fulfill you. But, you know, when I look at what you've done now with GarmCompany.com and with what Andrew did over with True Grit Texture Supply and what I've done with Adventures in Design, it's very cool. I mean, even Damien over at Jack Prints, you know, like Damien was a graphic designer that brokered a print job. And immediately he realized, whoa, I can make money brokering printing. And then he also realized, because he was like a freelance graphic designer, that designers needed an assist in getting good printing done. Because when he started Jack Prints, the printing industry was old school. It was guys with coffee breath that were doing stuff for the local newspaper, the local circular, and just popping in to get 1500 or something. Their machines weren't equipped to do that. So, you know, you look at four different people with four different stories on it was harder when we did it, but there's been an enjoyment on making it easier for the next guy.
Yes, absolutely. And I was looking at starting this back in 2014 or 15. I was listening to you talking to Dustin. And you and Dustin from Retro Supply were talking about digital, like selling digital products to other designers and stuff like that. And it was something that I was like, I need to sort of do that as well, because I had that in the back of my head for a long time.
Right.
And I was going to kick off my own thing. It had a different name, but it was something I was going to start. And I don't know, summer ended, and you know how it is in the fall when like the industry vacation is over, everyone comes back and work starts flowing in again, which is obviously a luxury problem. But I just had too much to do, so I couldn't really get the time in that I needed and wanted to put this thing in motion, and it just never started. Like I just never got it off the ground. But I started working with Dustin once I met him, and that's how I sort of got this. I don't know if you have this expression, and we have this expression in Italy. You get a bloody tooth, like you taste the blood, and then you're like, yeah, and then you never want to eat anything else again. So
the bloody tooth inspired red sauce for pasta, right? Like that's your ancestry, exactly. Where it came from, right? Exactly. The blood of my enemies poured over, delicious crust with added cheese and pepperoni.
Yes, exactly. and olive oil. And so, I don't know, that was the thing that made me think, like, well, I never started my own thing, but I'm still selling, like, webinars and products. But after a while, I was like, I should have done this a long time ago. And like you said, when COVID came along, it was just like opportunity window. I always wanted to start my own platform. And I also wanted to make some sort of podcast. And I did both things. And now the podcast had to take like a step back. And I had to focus fully on Garm Company. But yeah, you just have to look at when anything happens, when there's a crisis or anything gigantic like this happens, and it has a negative impact, you got to just find a way to turn it into, like, churn out gold from it.
Yeah, one of the things that I really tuned my mind to back in March when we saw that this was going to be real and stay for a while was, if you look back at the, you know, recorded history, someone always benefits off of a disaster. You know, like, there's, I don't know how this works, but both in nature and both in our synthetic nature, which is civilization, there's like a certain amount of juice, right? Whether that juice is power or it's money or it's opportunity, whatever the juice is, there's only so much juice. And it's always there. It just shifts. And so it's up to you whether you hold out your cup and try to catch a little bit of it, or if you defeat and put your cup back on the, you know, back in the cupboard and just sit there and cry at your dinner table. And so when all this started to happen, I wanted to make sure that I was one of the people that came out on the other side. Because literally my goal back in March was, and I have it written in a book, be able to tell people 5 years from now that the pandemic professionally was one of the best things that ever happened to you. And really sell that when we are giving our hardest hands, that's when you double down and go harder. My mom leaving me and abandoned me, I believe, made me an amazing person. And given a choice to have her in my life and be soft and be a mama's boy or be who I become, I would say, Carol, the script says at age 4, you abandoned me. And I'd be like, go on now. Go. I know this is hard on us, but go on now. Get on out of here. Shoo.
that's dark, dude.
But it is. But that is my life. And I could sit around and feel sorry for myself forever. Well, my mommy doesn't love me. Or I could say, I can convince other people to love me. And I can pursue popularity. I can pursue things that fulfill me. And that is changing a stranger's day, giving people an episode that gets them over a work day or gets them to the weekend faster or gives them that little bit of like, oh, if you ask for a deposit ahead of time, at least you're always getting paid and you have money coming in both ways. Like, whatever it is, if it's a laugh or if it's a chicken nugget, like, I learned that I love sharing with others because that fulfills me. And so with you doing Garm, the thing I like about this and the thing I like about people like everybody I said, you know, you, Andrew, myself, you look over at Damon and Jack Prince, Damien. I think high-level professionals, when they make something like True Grit or Garm, the idea isn't to talk down to the audience. It isn't to do all the work for the audience. It's to give people a tool and not a crutch. And I think when we go to the mainstream, design digital websites, you know, a Shutterstock or some of the other ones, what they do, their attitude is this: you suck, you're not good at design, so we're going to do the hard work for you. Somebody already took the photo, somebody already did the thing, here it is, you just paste it in and type over the top of it, because all you basically know how to do is lame typography. But from the punk rock perspective of what you're doing with Garm and what others have done is, here are tools, raw tools that will help you.
Tools for DIY.
Yes. These are raw tools that will help you sculpt and craft your vision. They'll help you do it faster. They'll help you do it more consistently. And they'll help you jump over that 5 days of going, how do you get the brush to spray? How do you get this to do this? How do you, how do I make a font that looks a specific way? Like, it's that shortcut and that consistency. But what you're not doing is just giving them the finished product. Like, there is a learning curve in here. So it is a craftsman put in another tool in the work shed so that now when a job pops up, it's like, oh, that's my Snips display typeface that was done by Kendrick Kidd, future guest on AID. That's what I need to work on this job. I like that attitude so much more of like, here it is, it's all done, just pop it in because you suck.
Yeah, and then and here's a template to change it to your company's name or whatever. Yeah, no.
Or the what we all see on Instagram, the 100 t-shirt designs for $100 type thing where you just type in your thing. Like, that's we're not into that.
And a lot of that is also plagiarism.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I saw a post the other day where people were like, they were talking about how they wanted Instagram to start boycotting these inspirational feeds because it's basically them capitalizing on other designers' work.
Yeah.
And I thought that, like, sure, I see what you're saying with that, but there are companies like Fiverr who's actually, like, on the stock market and making billions of dollars and not billions. I don't know. Probably.
Are you saying Fiverr?
Are
you saying Fiverr or Fiverr?
Fiverr. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's two R's.
It's Fiverr over here.
Okay, Fiverr. Maybe it's Fiverr. I thought it was Fiverr because of the two R's. But I don't know. I was just like, that's the one you should be going after, not the little inspirational feeds, because Fiverr actually reached out to us at Forefathers and wanted us to rebrand it for them. And I was like, oh, finally, I get someone on the line so I can ask for reimbursement for all the designs you stole from us.
Fuck you. You know, what a lot of people don't know is that second R is for racism.
What? Sorry, come again?
That second R in their name, that's for racism. A lot of people don't know that. That's a fun fact.
A lot of people don't know that, but that's definitely where that comes from. Sorry, I have to fix my chair.
That's all right. Very professional move.
Yes.
Always love when you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you just see their ass, which, by the way, has random black tattoos all over it, just like his arms, just like his legs. Hey, how about this? Total sidetrack. You and I were both born in the 70s. Or you were born in the early 80s or late 70s?
No, 79.
79.
I just made it.
All right. You and I were both born in the 70s. If you had 20 years on, if I was born 94 and you were born 99, you're looking at two guys right now that have face tats.
Probably. I was close to getting it, but I was like, nah, I'm happy with this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the beard, that traditional dark, thick Italian beard that if I went to stab you in your chin, the knife blade would break off somewhere in the middle. I think that's a better way to look. But let's get over to this real quick.
Yep.
What I love what you did, because essentially what you did with Garm is kind of what I'd been flirting to do with AID for a while. But I tried really hard when I did AID to stay focused on what my core was and not dip my toes into too many things to where the next thing you know, I was doing something that didn't match my dream. And so for a long time, I'd always saw the opportunity to sell digital goods. And what I like about you, and just to get this out, like, I still work with True Grit Texture Supply, and I love that Andrew has streamlined brushes and texture and really given people a way to get faster, consistent, professional styling in their illustration. Love what he's done. But where I see you as different is you're doing more of a boutique shop of, we got some clip art from Derek Castle. We got a font from Kendrick Kidd. We got a class from Tim Barron. You know, we got a couple of textures and things from you and from some of your buds. And then we also have the Grow Case Big Book of Inspiration. So what I like about what you're doing is it very much, when you and I talked about working together, I thought, yes, I want to be a part of Garm because I'd always envisioned taking a bunch of different artists, taking what makes them all special and letting them have a product or a package that people could buy from them that celebrates what makes them amazing. Nobody's better at what Derek Castle does than Derek Castle. Like, he is phenomenal at what he does. And I think that if you bought the Superstition Flash Pack, even though it may be hard to use because it looks like Derek Castle, I think owning it and looking at it and figuring out how it was put together might give you a better idea if that's the direction you want to go in on how to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I really do love the idea that Garm is really an artist resource where it doesn't placate to people that just use Illustrator or Procreate for illustrating, but more of general problem solving. And then when you put Tim Barron art in there of giving everybody like a class on how to use it, it really like rounds out what it is that you're trying to do. And so I had always thought about this would make sense for AID to have something like that, but I knew it would take me too far away from making the content, which is my pride and joy. And I've really tried for the last 6 years as a professional, is just don't derail, don't get stuck into making t-shirts, don't get stuck into making stickers and buttons, mm-hmm. like just make the podcast because that's what you're best at and what you love doing. So I'm excited to work with you because I love the fact that you put a sense of community into this, and you're going to be celebrating a lot of our different friends, guests, past, present, and future of AID, and celebrating people on what they do and letting the audience, like, you know, not only support their efforts by buying a product, but then support their own efforts by learning how to use that product and getting a better idea into like, oh, so this is how Kendrick Kidd sees typography. I not only love this font, but I have a better idea of his craft.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, you hit the nail on the head. That's what I really wanted to do. I didn't just want to make my own little shop where I'm like, here, buy some of my products and
right.
give me some income while I sleep. I really wanted to, because I have a big chain of like social network of friends in the United States and all over the world, basically, but who I know are really talented, and I've been waiting for some sort of excuse to work with them, you know. But a lot of stuff that me and Kendrick does, for example, is very similar.
Yeah,
we both do illustration, custom type, branding, but I still want to do some sort of work together with him and Derek and Tim and all these guys. So that was the whole plan, like make a little boutique shop and bring these people in to collaborate with. And also there was the one thing that made me hesitate was that whenever you do something that has money involved or business and friends, it can go south.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So that was one thing that I was like, should I really like involve people that I really like and know? But I was like, well, I know they can deliver and I'm not going to snub them on anything. Let's see how it goes.
Well, let's do this as we're soon going to be going over to the Circle of Trust here. One of the reasons why I was excited to partner up with you is because you're doing things the way that I'd always envisioned to do this, both on the front end, working with your buds, celebrating what makes people special. And, you know, everybody knows the decade long rivalry between you and Kendrick Kidd. And somehow he's just always like a little bit better than you. And I know that drives you always nuts, but the way to make work between business and pleasure and friendship really work is to do everything percentage based. So there's zero arguments over who ripped off who. It's like we establish ahead of time that these are the percentages, and every time $1 comes in, everybody knows this much goes to the affiliate that sold it, this much comes back to the house, and then the house gets divided, this much for the house, this much for the artist. And a percentage-based relationship is always the absolute fairest way to go. And if you look at the entertainment industry, it's like, okay, as an agent, you're going to make 10%. So you want to try to make 10% of this hot tween who might turn into a horrendous adult, or do you want to make 10% off the rock? You know, not everybody gets to make 10% off the rock. So it is a percent-based business. So the more you find your talent, the more you support your talent, the more that 10 or 15% kick back to you is. Now, that's not what Amir's paying his artists, but those are just numbers that we all know through the entertainment industry. And you know, when I look at my friend Biggie, it's like he works insanely hard to make sure Good Fight Entertainment gets their 15%. And so if one of his bands can get to where they're grossing $100,000 a night, that's $15,000 off the top to Good Fight. But if one of his bands underperforms and they can only get $10,000 a night and they get $1,500, then Good Fight really has to look at, well, what are we doing with our management style here that we have created a band that can only generate $10,000 in ticket sales a night? Which, by the way, in 2020, it would be a dream to generate $10,000 in ticket sales because nobody can go on tour or play any live shows except for the Donnie Airport tour, which, by the way, I got tickets to the next day and I can't wait to go see it. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh, dude, up front always. Love it so much. I crowd surf. So with putting all this together and working with your friends, was it hard to figure out who to start with? How long is the list of friends? Because that gets into a whole interesting thing of the money part's fair, but then sometimes there's just the personal pride thing that hurts other people's feelings.
So it was really easy, actually, because when I was going to start a podcast, one of my closer friends that I hung out with the most in real life is Jason Craig. And so when I started the podcast as just a goofy little idea, he was the first one I asked, and he said yes right away. So we just did it. And it was easy getting people to come on. So I was like, as guests and friends of ours and people that we know a little bit or people that we really wanted to get to know. And when I started putting out tentacles to spread around some inquiries about it, would you be interested in doing a product? I'm starting up this thing and this thing. And everybody said yes. Everyone who I have on Garm right now said yes right away. There was a couple that didn't get back to me, but it was just very few. And then the interest was so, there was so much positive feedback that I had to put some people in a queue to put out their stuff. So we got more things coming with a lot of interesting people. But yeah, it was just easy to pick out, this guy does this, this guy does this, this guy does this. And I also told people, what would you like to do? I would love for you to do, I talked to Tim Barron, for example, and I said, I would love for you to do a class, but you can do whatever you want, because I'm confident that whatever you put together is going to be dope. And he was like, well, I just sent out a questionnaire to my followers, what they wanted, if I should do a class. And they all, there was overwhelmingly positive response. So let's do the class. So some things, just some puzzle pieces just fit automatically. And yeah, I don't know. It was pretty easy to do. And I'm pretty good at I think I'm pretty decent at seeing letting people play to their strengths and see what they could do. But also it's important not to be I want you to do this. Can you do that? And they're would rather to do this. Sure, go for it. It's gonna be giving them some credit for it, because it's gonna be a fun thing too. We're so fresh and new that it's not gonna be a big. It's not going to be a money printing machine right away. It's going to take time to grow. But
The thing too. You want to make it fun for them because it's extracurricular. It's not paying anybody's bills at this particular moment. Hopefully it will in the future, but it's all extracurricular. It's all what do I want to put next to my name? And also, use Derek Castle for an example, what can he sell to the designers that follow him? Because after a while, even though people love you, they can only hang so much art on their wall. They can only justify mm-hmm. so many enamel pens or t-shirts. So to be able to figure out, who's following me? Yeah, there's a lot of people that just follow me because they love my art, or they, love that I do a lot of, Tennessee and Nashville. And I think he's pro drinking whiskey, but I'm not really sure.
Tequila.
So you get a lot.
No. Sorry. Mezcal. Mezcal is.
I think he'd probably drink a bottle of rubbing alcohol if we put it in front of him. But there are so many people, though, that follow him for his art because they love it, because it touches one of those bases. But there's also a lot of people that you got to think, whoever's following you, there's some people in there that are following you because they do the same thing. They're keeping tabs on you, and that's not always a bad thing. They're just like, you're a hero of theirs or a competitor, or you're a milestone that they want to achieve. And so trying to figure out a way where, how can I sell something to that sector of my following? The people that really want to learn how to do what I do or love my illustration style so much, but they know that their little mom and pop agency or their freelance rig could never hire me to do, a hand holding a tarot card. But for $35, they can have that. They can have access to it. You know what I mean? There's a part of your audience that you can sell back your core product to, because that's why they're there. A lot of people just listen to the podcast because they want to learn or be entertained or a little bit of companionship. But there's also a lot of people that listen because they want to do a podcast and they want to get better insight on how it's done by a professional. And that's why we're happy to announce that the 8th Relection for Garm the eighth release for Garm, is the Mark Bricky Offensive Quotes Pack. These are little files that you can download, because when you get into podcasting, you're not going to have the bravery that I have just to say whatever comes to your mind. So you can just drop these into your podcast and go, oh, we didn't have that hot take. Bricky did, because Bricky has no fear in broadcasting. So therefore, you can immediately be controversial, but blame it on somebody else and create content that moves the needle and alarms people. So that's available today for download. 100 of my most offensive things I've ever said that you can download and cut and paste into your own podcast. You're welcome.
How to be offensive without getting canceled.
Yeah, I mean, I've been riding that fence for a long, long time. Everybody was like, when cancel culture started happening, some people were like, are you worried about this? I'm like, no, I've done the greatest thing you could ever do. I've always said everything directly to everybody. I have no secrets. I have just told you everything. So there's no canceling, because there's no cancel behavior. I just say rowdy shit because that's how I am. And quite honestly, that's how most people are when they don't have a microphone in front of their face. And so to me, the brand is transparency and make it feel like you're really hanging out with people. And the design and your professional hobby doesn't always have to sound like a job interview. That's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. No, just being, but you almost got canceled. Like they tried to cancel you.
When?
Creative South?
Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing that people gave me a lot of crap, that I didn't have enough female guests on my shows and that I said stuff. But you know what? I just kept rolling, man. You know, I just kept rolling, and I always just push back. I'm like, do you want me to send you the emails of all the women that say they don't want to come on the show because they don't like the way that their voice sounds? Do you want me to show you like the tickets? You know what I mean? Like, I've always been very, very transparent. Like, the reason why I stopped videotaping my interviews is because I had a lot of female guests be like, I don't know, like, if I do it, I have to do makeup and clean my studio and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you can't be canceled if, I mean, one, cancel culture is way more about like, I guess in design, it can be like the most mundane, you know, like social thing. But for real, cancel culture is to cross the path into something that is like.
But cancel culture is just people bored out of their fucking minds looking for something to do.
Sure.
And looking for an excuse to cancel someone else who's doing something because they're not doing shit with their life and they're miserable. That's all it is.
And, you know, there is a little bit of healthy, let's call people out for their behavior. But there is also a lot of, like you said, who can the mob mentality go after now? And because this is the week of Halloween, a lot of people don't know this, Amir, and I have to do this time every year. When the townspeople grabbed their torches and they were chasing a creature through the town, a lot of people want to say that was Frankenstein. And I like to tell everybody this time of year, no, that was Frankenstein's monster, right? Mm-hmm. And so when the people of Columbus, Georgia had their torches and they were trying to run me out of town, I said, no. I'm not Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein's monster. And you all have made me this monster. Each and every one of you. I have secrets on all of you. All of you tell me things when we're not recording. So if you want me to blow you in, I'll blow you in right now because you have made me this monster. And then the townspeople, they all ran away and high-fived me. So it worked out pretty well. So Amir, with the Growcase Big Book of Inspiration, this is kind of fascinating to me. Every artist who's worth a damn goes through life, sees things that is a product that they would never buy, from a time period that they never live in, for maybe a language they don't even speak. But the off registration is just good enough. The illustration is just grimy enough. The composition is just so fucking insane. You're like, who would do this? Who would think of this? And it is so breathtaking that you do a little right click, a little control right click, save image as, and you just put it in that little inspiration folder on your desktop. For you to take the Growcase Big Book of Inspiration and say, hey, here is a bunch of stuff, like tons and tons of images, over 1,000 images that I have captured in the last handful of years that I've divided up for you. Typography, packaging, branding and badges, stamps, vintage labels, matchbooks, classified ads, horror movie and punk rock flyers. Like to take it all and to subcategorize it and say, this is what is my internal style guide. This is my Bible. Here it is. Download it. Enjoy it. I think that's great. I would love to do a YouTube show where I just walk through other people's inspirational folders and just look and see what's behind the music. You know what I mean? Like what got them to think the way that they think. You gave this to me early. I spent a whole afternoon one day just clicking through it and just figuring out like, how do I turn this into some sort of content? What do I do with this? Cause it's just too rich to just ignore or to just be like, well, that was cool. Then close the folder.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I'm like, should I put this out or not? Like I want to, but I don't want to get into legal trouble. But I started like looking at the like all that content is so old, and I was like, if I'm gonna get like some lawyer to look through all of this and get me permission to use all of it, that's gonna take 10 years and probably I have to spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I'll just you know like speak first and apologize later or whatever that's called. That's what I figured out I'd do.
Sure.
So and I don't know, it was a pretty big hit. People seem to enjoy the hell out of it. And everything in there is so freaking old. And I don't know. I don't think any of it's around anymore. So that's why I decided to just do it. And that's how our mood boards always look like for forefathers. We never go to Dribbble or Instagram or anything like that to pull together a mood board.
Go back to the source.
So I always have these folders that I pull together a mood board in 10 minutes. That's pretty massive because I have this giant library. And this was just volume one. I have way more stuff, but this was like what I felt would be a good compilation to put together. And I was a bit worried about like, I wish everything was 300 DPI scanned and massive. Like,
you just don't get that luxury though. When you're walking through the internet and you're just pulling inspiration images, like you don't have that luxury of everything being 300 DPI. And you know what? I wouldn't even let that bother me because this should all just be what gets your brain thinking of like, wow, I love the way that these old labels use all the secondary information type. You know what I mean? Like you technically, I mean, I guess you can lift directly from these, but I always look at it as more as like, this is a conversation starter. And to make something really amazing, you take three of these different templates and birth something new. I like many of us, I've always loved retro packaging because before there was a computer, when it was draftsmen at a table, you know, taking their tie and like tucking it in their shirt or putting it over their shoulder, the problem solving on where they put things is just so bold because in our world, we have the convenience and we have the tools to literally make everything centered, fill up every little cookie, fill up every little empty pocket. And, you know, they were just so bold and like, this fits here. And by the time they hand drew it in there, they weren't going to fucking cut it and move it because it would have been, you know, an enormous amount of work. And I've always loved also too, the efficiency of stamp design because of how small it is, what it needs to do. There's just always been such an efficiency of how that works. And when I got into gig posters, the amount of time that I spent looking at retro advertising and retro stamp design, because I always wanted to look at the retro ads on how to get the show information in there, the venue information in there, give everything a home. But I always wanted the poster from a distance to look like a stamp because of the efficiency of how you immediately get USA 33 cents Eagle. Boom. You know, just those three pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Spoon, Toronto, Ontario. You want to be there. Boom. That's how you want to do it.
I pitched that concept a bit too many times now that I've done a lot of like stamp inspired designs for, I did one for Crop. I did one for Sturgill Simpson. I did one for, I can't remember. But I've done a ton of them. I'm obsessed with them, and that stamp, part of that stamp collection is in the big book of inspiration too.
But when you put this together and you sold this to people, Were there ever any when you were like, okay, here's my big folder of like 1,000 stamps and I need to put, you know, I need to put like 100 something from each one of these categories so that the number makes right? Because, you know, whenever you're, you know, to me it was like, well, 200 podcasts a year, if somebody pays $99, it's 50 cents. And surely you're going to get something out of every episode that's worth 50 cents. And by the way, 6 years later, 50 cents is worth a lot less than it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But when you were looking through your master resource books, were there just some pieces where you're like, I just can't give this to anybody else. Like I gotta keep this one. This one's too much of a prized possession.
Yeah, but maybe a couple.
There you go, friends. There's the free portion of today's episode with Amir. Don't worry, we've got more for you over in the Circle of Trust. Bonus content for my AIDCOT members. But I hope you're enjoying hearing this conversation. I love when creative people think outside of the box and think outside of the bun and try to create other side projects. And I always enjoy seeing everybody work together. I always love the teamwork, the camaraderie that is the design community, because at the end of the day, we all do what we do. And if you're really good at what you do, then you technically, you have no competition because only you do you, if you know what I'm saying. Coming up in part two, we talk even more about Garm and how he's able to put it all together. And then, you know, we get into some bonding and talking about the financials, the struggle it is to build something like this and to find the extra time to make a side project come to life. All of this and over 1,200 more episodes are waiting for you over at AID.network when you become a member of the Circle of Trust. And don't forget, Garm is our new sponsor. Head over to garmcompany.com. Use your coupon code AID to save site-wide. I highly recommend the Growcase Big Book of Inspiration. I've had this on my hard drive now for about 50, 60 days, and I've looked at it quite often because there's just something about the magic of design pre all these tools we have. It just feels so warm and the problem solving is so crazy compared to the world that we live in today that if I was going to walk away with something off of that website, that's what I would suggest. Let's get started with part two right now with Amir over at AID.network. Available for members of the Circle of Trust.